woman Republican makes as much sense as a Jewish Nazi.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Saturday night, Josh Hadley. But there's the cat to look forward to.
Hey!
Who's Fonzie, apparently. Okay, I guess that would make Charlie Potsy. Haha, see?
Nice.
So, we've got some weird ones here. We'll get into a relatively serious discussion in the second half. But right now, let's do the...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I'm actually kind of trying to figure out what to do for dumbest thing here. Because there's quite a few. I'm going to randomly pick the fact that Facebook is actually adding a satire button to articles whenever somebody posts something from the Daily Current or Empire or The Onion or a satire site, because they've gotten so many complaints about people that don't know that those sites are satire. And they're, oh my God, Obama really did do this. Oh my God. I think this is stupid because do you need to be told that The Onion and The Daily Current and Empire are satire? Because I know I've seen them show up on my Facebook feed. I don't know how many times with people that are discussing these as if they're serious. Do we need a satire button?
We do not. I understand there are people that are fooled by shit like that. Sometimes I'm fooled by stuff like that. There was this interview in the Daily Current with, it was a fake interview with Sarah Palin talking about how she thought Russia and Chechnya were the same place. It made sense to me. I believed it was real. I'd seen it from a friend of mine who believed it was real. And then when I found out that it was not real, I was okay with that because I'm a fucking adult. I'm not going to demand that somebody protect me from being fooled by shit.
Do we need it? No. But maybe we kind of do. I have to admit, even just today, I was fooled by Empire.
That, but I was going to be kind and not point it out to you publicly, but okay.
No, it was just something about the long-range weather forecast, and I was like, oh shit, we're going to get some snow. Let me share that with people I know. And then I'm like, oh, let me see. This also has stuff for lots of other ridiculous-sounding articles. This is a satire website. I'll just correct myself in the comments. Which I did, and a lot of people didn't read me correcting myself in the comments and pointed it out to me like I was an idiot. Because I was an idiot, but at least I'm taking a...
You're being very graceful.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I did put things in all caps, but yeah, at least, you know, I owned up to it. And there's a lot of people who are not as clever as me, and well, I guess you two as well, who do get fooled and don't realize that it's not real. And that's why you get people who read bullshit on The Onion and then tell it to their kids over dinner about how Obama really is the devil because they read it on the news.
If an article can make you briefly forget what goddamn season it is, that's good satire.
Well, sure. It was a long-range weather forecast. It was like saying we're going to get more snow than usual this year. It was the most legit-sounding article I'd ever read on a satirical website.
Well, okay, so would a satire button hinder or bolster these satire sites? Because, like, The Onion, I think, does it right. I think Empire News does not, because... I don't find them to be remotely funny or witty. They just are, hey, let's be stupid. And then Daily Current, that's the one that fooled Charlie, and I actually got fooled a couple of times before I realized it was a satire site. Does that make the satire better or worse if we label it as such?
Worse. Totally worse. That's like being in a movie comedy and winking at the camera with every punchline.
I think if the article sounds interesting enough, you will click on it whether or not you know it's a satire. Like,
well, see, I mean, and Kat, you and I have gone back and forth over this. Sometimes when I bring you stories on this show, you have me verify it's not a satire site.
I have to sometimes. This world is such a stupid place.
I actually suggested that one that turned out to be a hoax, that one about Joe Rogan killing a puma outside of the Laugh Factory.
Okay, here's the thing about these satire ones, though. I'm not going to say it's exclusive to the right wing, but I notice it a lot more. The mainstream right-wing websites tend to latch on to things like the Daily Current and The Onion and Empire as legitimate news more. They seem to get fooled more about the evils of Obama stories. Why is that? Do you think it's because it's what they... Oh my God, I was right! I was right! Post it! Or do you think they just think their audience won't realize that it was satire?
I'm not going to lie. When your demographic consists, when you pander that much to older people and maybe middle-aged to older people who maybe aren't as quick to learn about technology, so they're not as explorative online as, say, the liberals who are, let's face it, there's a younger generation of liberals that just don't exist.
Democrats skew younger.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people out there, like, say, my grandmother's sister, who will believe anything that she hears on Fox News. And if she tried to, you know, go online to find information, she would never understand that The Onion is a satirical website. She would just see the headlines and go, oh, I knew it. She doesn't know how this technology works and that there is fake news websites and that sort of thing. So I wonder if some of it is just partially a technology and generation gap between the sense of humor and the technology being utilized by younger people who may have liberal leanings versus, you know, some older conservatives who might not necessarily understand the technology and stuff like that. And then it really is just validation after that.
I think a lot of it is just blind optimism. I think conservatives are fooled more often by the satirical Obama's the devil stories because they really want to believe it. Like if I read a fake article in the Daily Current about how women who swallow are 70% less likely to develop breast cancer, I would want to believe that's true and remind my wife whenever the chance came up.
Came up, I get it.
See?
Well, let's move from satire to how should this have played out? In Ohio, a drunk driver drove himself to the jail asking to be arrested so he could be protected from driving drunk because he knew he was too drunk to drive, so he drove to the police station to make sure he wouldn't drive drunk. He's now being charged with drunk driving. Do you think his intent being right will help him in court or not?
His intentions were good. His execution left a little bit to be desired. I mean, to prevent yourself from driving, the one thing you shouldn't do is drive yourself somewhere, and that's the one thing that he did. So clearly his methods could use some work. I don't think it's going to help him in court, but I do think the judge will have something to laugh about the next time he's at a cocktail party or something.
4 times the legal limit, by the way.
It's impressive that he could find the police station.
It was impressive that he was conscious. This
for a 20-year-old, that's pretty drunk.
Yeah, he probably doesn't have a lot of experience. I would hope he doesn't have a lot of experience.
Do you notice I said a 20-year-old? Means
yes.
He can't even legally drink.
And that's why it's going to be that much worse in court. That's why there probably won't be a whole lot of leniency. I'm just like, why would you drive to the police station? What if you're like, I'm going to hit somebody. Let me drive to my house. Let me drive to my friend's house. Let me drive to literally anywhere except where I am going
That's
to go to jail.
That's sober
after.
Talk right there, Kat.
I'm just saying, okay, so I had an acquaintance in school named Druggy Tim. This is what he preferred to go by. And one time, Druggy Tim decided to drop some acid and get in his van. And he decided that he was going to be not needing to drive and that it was too dangerous for him to drive. So he actually pulled over into the college and not into a police station or someplace where people would go, oh, that guy looks like he's on drugs. Better throw him out because it's community college.
Picturing a big Frank Frazetta mural on the side of the van, or is that 270s?
It might be 270s, but I wouldn't put it past him. So, yeah, and so he's just like, you know, hanging out in the cafeteria on his day off, totally, you know, out
Tripping
of his mind. And just, you know, I'm like, what are you doing here? You're not in school today. Ah, well, you know, we did this thing and I decided I should pull over. I'm like, good for you. And that's when he started asking me if I did drugs. I'm like, no, I don't do drugs. And he says, that's okay. Drugs aren't for everyone. And I feel like we all learned a valuable life lesson that day.
This wasn't drunk driving, but in Australia, a truck carrying 50 tons, and that's an Australian measurement. I don't know what that equates to for American measurements, but 50 tons of...
It's like a ton, but with an extra N-E-S.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's 2,000 pounds. They just... They have consonants to spare.
An ammonium nitrate truck carrying 50 tons of ammonium nitrate rolled over and exploded, destroyed the truck. It, quote, disintegrated the truck, according to police, destroyed two bridges, blew a hole in the highway, injured eight people, four firefighters and four police officers, and destroyed three police vehicles. Now, I have to ask, if just rolling this truck over causes the origin of a Marvel supervillain style explosion, is that the safest way to transport this? You would think if this was a possibility, they would transport it somewhat differently, wouldn't you?
I think this is kind of like an airplane crash where it's not one single thing that causes an explosion. Just like no, one single thing usually crashes an airplane. There has to be a chain of events that take place that would cause something like this to happen. Otherwise, it would happen all the goddamn time.
I just read this and went, there has to be a safer way to do this if just rolling the truck a few times causes that.
Because, like, it could have been something like, you know, the truck rolled and, you know, the fuel leaked and then these two chemicals mixed and, you know, mixing chemicals is really bad. And then something sparked and it blew. It can't just be rolling a vehicle. Stuff had to have leaked, monumentally.
I would like for somebody to get to work immediately on Australian Hulk versus Mexican Hulk.
We never did get our Mexi Hulks, did we?
I know. Now there's a reason. Now there's a villain.
2 to 3 kilometers of damage from a truck explosion.
That's pretty impressive.
It is. It's
and
very.
And nobody was killed.
Yet, because the driver might still die. But
well, I think the long-term effects of ammonium nitrate should be looked into right about now.
Okay, here's the thing. If it disintegrated the truck, how did the driver survive? I don't get that part.
He was wearing plot armor. He's the next villain.
How about we move to rape?
Okay, sure. Let's make that leap.
Rape is a woman's fault. Phyllis Schlafly is a hardcore right-wing woman. I'm just going to quote from her before we get into this. We all know that married men can still be violent to their families, but they are far less likely to be violent against women than live-in boyfriends. Why is this? It's true that women who have found men who are already better partners are more likely to marry them, but it's also true that marriage settles men down. Being married makes a man care more about his family's expectations and future because he sees his family as enduring. It also makes him more faithful and committed to his partner. Marriage makes men directly protective of their wives, and living in a home with their daughters gives them the opportunity to be directly protective of... You know what? I can't even finish this. Okay. I'm not quoting anymore, but she goes into this long, long tirade about how if you get married, then you don't get raped. It's only single women that get raped. So if you get married, stop concentrating on a career, you won't get raped.
Okay, let me just say that this woman is not only insulting to women, she is exceptionally insulting of men as well, because this is not logic of any kind at all. Even in this woman's mind, this is not logic. This is just bullshit. Like, something possessed her, like some hellspawn probably caused by ammonia nitrate leaking all over the place and opening up a portal to hell. And something came out of hell and possessed her to speak these words, because these are not the words of a thinking human being.
I did say she was a hardcore right winger, so it kind of goes without saying.
Like, it basically says that when you're married, men won't cheat and they won't abuse, and women will be safe and protected, and basically marriage is perfect all the time, always. Which would be great if that were even remotely true, but it's not.
But these are also hardcore right-wing Republicans saying this, who are the people that believe women are property. That when you marry a woman, you own them and all their subsidiary rights.
The logical fallacies here are indefinite. Anyway, back to what I was trying to say, that, you know, like, men won't beat their wives ever because they're going to be happy because they're married. And being married makes them want to be protective. And this is bullshit, because this is basically saying that by marrying somebody, your personality and your priorities are going to completely change and revolve around that other person. And to some degree, that may be true. But if somebody is violent to women before, he's going to be violent to women after he's married. If he's not violent to women before he's married, he's not going to be violent to women after he's married. Marriage just does not change people that much. If you are a suicidal murderer, all of these terrible things, you are still going to be those things whether or not you're married. It's just the way the world works. You can't change people's chemical imbalances and that sort of shit without medication. And anyway, don't work like that. And the idea that this woman is trying to pass off that marriage will make people be perfect is fucking ridiculous.
Well, I think this is more of the Republican and older generation of that whole, you mean women want to work and they don't want to just pop kids out every 9 months? Blasphemy.
Okay, to give this woman credit, if you are a woman and you never ever leave your house because you are too busy being in the kitchen, wearing an apron barefoot and popping out babies every 9 months, yes, you are probably less likely to get raped than if you actually leave your house and behave like a human being.
A couple of things about that. My first reaction inside when you were reading that quote was, if you don't want to get raped, put a ring on it.
I think you should write that song.
Something else.
Yeah, Weird Al and I are going to start working on that now. I don't know, a couple of things about this. A woman Republican makes as much sense as a Jewish Nazi. As much as Republicans hate poor people and brown people, they really hate women. They are trying anything, any just massive amount of bullshit they can think of to decriminalize rape. When you get right down to it, it seems like there's a lot of Republicans who are not coming out and saying, I think rape should be legal, but they're not saying it either. With all this bullshit.
It's not rape, Charlie.
Yeah, all this. The vagina can shut itself down in the event of rape. It's like a fire drill. Yeah, this falls into the same category, and it's much more insulting because it's coming from a woman. Also, when a guy gets married, one of three things happens to him. The first ideal outcome is a guy says, well, marriage is my natural state. I love being married. I love everything about this. Awesome. Happily ever after. Category B is where most guys fall. Josh, I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that you are in this category as well, because we can smell our own. They are unhappily faithful.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, because what happens when you get married is the sex for very long stretches of time just stops because the emotional component is now different. When you marry someone, you feel differently about them in relation to your entire life. Now it's both of your entire life. Stuff happens that halts the sex for long periods of time. The unhappily faithful man will not cheat because he's just not the kind of person that will cheat. And he's almost bemoaning that fact because that would be a way to have sex. In fact, that's the only way to have sex is if you cheat. But guys in category B do not cheat. They do not have sex. They are not happy about it, but at least they're faithful. Category C are guys that are going to cheat on a woman. They're capable of beating a woman. They're capable of raping a woman, whether they're married or not. And to think that a guy with rapey tendencies would be cured by getting married, that's a lot like saying a Catholic priest wouldn't have the need to molest little boys if he always had a few around him at all times.
Kind of
doesn't
extreme,
make sense, but, does know? It?
But this is also Phyllis Schlafly. She's not known for making sense, yet she wields a lot of power, which is the disturbing part.
Oh.
She wielded a lot more power in the 90s than she does now, thankfully, though.
This is just a staggering array of ignorance, and I don't think I can pick a favorite.
Well, then why don't we take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about a couple of other things that are relatively serious.
Care, and maybe you did too. Yeah, guys, I know you weren't expecting to hear me. I'm supposed to be on break, but here I am yet again. It's Hart Fisher with Heart Attack, and I could talk about how it's come out now due to the Freedom of Information Act that, yeah, the LA Times reporter who was in charge on writing about Homeland Security and writing about the CIA, he's been reporting to them and clearing his stories before publication with the CIA. That's right, guys. If you read this article on The Intercept, that's a very interesting article. There's also a great article here about the at Occupy.com about the road to serfdom connecting Detroit, Argentina, and Greece, and how private companies are using different countries' public resources and public safety nets to get rich quick. I recommend reading that article. I'm going to talk about this very briefly. Right now, as we record this, the Senate Republicans have just voted to kill Democracy for All amendment, which would restrict corporations and billionaires from buying elections. So guess who defeated it? It was the Republicans. That's right. Our buddy Lamar Alexander in Tennessee, John Barrasso in Wyoming, Roy Blunt in Missouri, John Boozman in Arkansas, Richard Burr in North Carolina, Saxby Chambliss in Georgia, Daniel Coates in Indiana, Tom Coburn, Thad Cochran, Susan Collins, Bob Corker, John Cornyn, Mike Crapo, Ted Cruz in Texas, Mike Enzi, Deb Fisher in Nebraska, Jeff Flake, Lindsey Graham, Chuck Grassley, Orrin Hatch in Utah, of course, Dean Heller, John Hoeven, I'm massacring that, James Inhofe, Johnny Isaacson, Mike Johans, Ron Johnson, Mark Kirk in Illinois, Mike Lee in Utah, Mitch McConnell, Jerry Morin, Lisa Murkowski, Rand Paul, Rob Portman, Jim Risch, Pat Roberts, Marco Rubio in Florida, Tim Scott, Jeff Sessions, Richard Shelby, John Thune, Pat Toomey, David Vitter, and Roger Wicker, and oh, one more, Kelly Iotti in New Hampshire. They all voted to keep the money in the elections. That's right. These are the Senate Republicans who have defeated the amendment to limit money on behalf of corporations in our politics. So now they've announced we know exactly who's been bought off.
It's kind of telling. They just made their allegiances completely clear. So if they are representing your state, whoever is listening to this, vote them out. They just announced that they are bought and paid for. Make sure they lose in November, that they lose their seat.
Exactly, Josh. That's the key thing to remember, is that we control who goes in and out. We may not feel like we do, but that's part of the trick. That's part of the mind fuck that these companies play on us, is they're trying to make us think we're helpless when we're not. We're very powerful and we can get more things done if we got focused less on the dominoes and less on the crap on TV and more about what's happening in our lives. I could go on all day about these crooks, but to tell you the truth, Josh, I'm so damn happy with some things that are going on in my life. I'm not doing the regular heart attack show this month to get caught up on my work for American Horrors. And now it came through, you can watch us on the Roku.
And if I knew what that was, I'd respond.
Roku is a service that is like, it's like a new kind of cable company, and they're a lot cheaper and they've got pretty amazing selection. And Roku, R-O-K-U, has been around for a while. And if you use the code, punch in the code WM6BC, the channel code that you punch into your Roku box to watch the Film on Private Label channel. And via the Film on Private Label channel, you can watch American Horrors. So I'm really happy. And we also had a logjam break free. We've had an issue with getting a lot of our content updated. A lot of it wasn't playing correctly, and the Film on Techs fixed it. So I'm really, really happy about that. Amazing amount of really cool content that we're going to put on the channel. We're free to watch. And me and Count Crazy Craig are going to be appearing at Haunted Hollywood Sports in Bellflower, California on October 4th and October 18th. We'll be there signing books and DVDs, and we're making a new American Horrors t-shirt we'll have on sale there. I'm going to have new limited edition stuff on sale to Haunted Hollywood Sports Park, and I urge people to check it out. That's the zombie paintball I've talked about in the past, and I'm really excited to get back in it. And dude, last night, I'm watching, you know I'm a maniac for the mixed martial arts. I'm watching The Ultimate Fighter 20 with the ladies. I know one of the fighters on there. I know Heather Clark from Gokors and Jeans. And, you know, so it was really cool to be watching it going, why do I know her? Why do I? And then as soon as she started talking, I'm like, I fucking know Heather Clark. Holy shit. She's also in the video I did for Dr. Adam J. Del Torto for a technique he has for treating deviated septums. So it was really cool to see the new Ultimate Fighter. I thought it was a really great opening to the show, and to see people that you know on there, man. That was just, so I'm feeling pretty good. And then also, I want to give a shout out to Sam's Auto on York here in Highland Park. Sam has, the boys at Sam's Auto have been taking really good care of my car. Folks at home, if you have an older car that needs to be looked at, or a new car, bring it on over to Sam's Auto, because they do really good work, and the people that own that company are real human beings. They're not a bunch of dirtbags. They're good guys over there at Sam's Auto. So I just want to give a shout out to them about that. And so that's part of why you're like, wow, Hart, you sound pretty happy. I am. And not only did I have an issue with, I've had an issue with Time Warner, they gave me a pretty good discount for the issues I've had with their service. And so I'm pretty damn happy about that too, man. I've been fighting the good fight, and some things have been turning around for me. And I'm absolutely besides myself with giddiness.
Well, goody for you. Everything's going great for you. It's not going so great for me, but whatever. At least, well, you're succeeding.
When you're down, Josh, one of the things I learned when I was flat on my back and trying to crawl my way out of my own grave, you know, I got to say that you have to focus on whatever makes you feel good. You know, a lot of that. And I feel good when I see people I know winning. When I see filmmakers I know doing better, when I see like the Soska sisters' career taking off and they're filmmakers I believe in, I'm very, very happy for them. When I see people like Matt Farnsworth, who's doing The Orphan Killer, and he's got all these amazing people in his new film, and I'm happy to be in it. I'm happy for him. I've got this new film that's on demand at Walmart, 2035 Forbidden Dimensions, which is out on DVD and available at Walmart. It's also available for on demand at Walmart service. So there's a lot of really good things happening, and I celebrate that stuff. Like, there's good stuff happening for Danzig. You know, I'm going to be seeing him at the Sam Haines show. I've been talking with Glenn about some stuff, and things are going good for him. Things are going good for all the people in my life, and I'm feeling that I'm like trying to really enjoy it, because I know it's not always this way. So when good news comes, I try to really revel in it. I try to really enjoy it, and that's what's happening right now. Is things are going really good for American Horrors. I'm very excited for my career. I've got some writing coming out and some new books. We got some new products coming out. I've got some new t-shirt designers that we're going to start working with. It's very, very exciting. It's a very exciting time for me right now at American Horrors and in my life. And my health is good, and my wife's health is good. And that right there is a pretty brutal thing to have hanging over your head. She is doing very well. I'm doing really good. Hell, my blood pressure's down, Josh. Even my blood pressure's down. Amazing. the Serial Killer Culture on Netflix is on demand. I'm in there. I'm in there for like a good 5 or 10 minutes. And my mailbox has absolutely been blown up by people who enjoy that film and have really enjoyed my interview in it. So to all those people that have seen it or that are new to my work, I'm happy to have you on board. I hope you get too freaked out. And I really appreciate all the good things that have been said to me via my mailbox and my Twitter. It's just blowing up. So, man, I can't be grumpy and complain today, man.
Well, good for you. So we talk about religion a lot on this show. How about the United States Air Force refusing to allow an airman who is already in the Air Force to re-up because he refuses to swear to God? The oath he has to take, he refuses to say, quote, so help me God, unquote. So the Air Force says, we can't let you back in. If you don't swear to God, you cannot be in the United States Air Force. And now, legally, they are right. Back in the 1960s, there was a law passed that said you have to swear, quote, to obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed to me, so help me God. That's part of the congressional law. So in the Air Force's defense, the guy saying, I will not swear to God, their hands are kind of tied. I wanted to talk about, really?
Guys, try not to be such fucking morons all the time, will you? This whole thing is stupid. There's nobody that comes out of this without being stupid. The guy who's being denied a position is being stupid because if you don't believe in God, then say whatever bullshit they want you to say because there's more of them than there are of us. It's like, you know, when you have your kids and you're like, oh, I think I hear Santa Claus on the roof. Like, say whatever the fuck they want you to say to move past it. You're trying to draw attention to your cause, which in itself is not a cause. That's stupid. The people that are denying him this position is really fucking stupid because who the fuck cares? Swearing does nothing. If you say you swear something, you are still physically capable of lying. If someone's going to lie about something, they can swear and it means less than anything. It especially has nothing to do with your abilities as a soldier. Fuck all of you.
Don't you think he's standing up for a position and that he's trying to make a difference by changing this or pointing it out?
No, I can't give him credit for that because pick your battles. Not everything is a call to arms. Not everything you you don't have to go to the mat every day about everything. Sometimes you should make a personal sacrifice in the interest of maintaining peace.
What do you think?
I think that's what he was trying to do by re-enlisting in the Air Force. But then again, it was the Air Force, so how hard was he trying?
Well, that's coming from a naval brat there.
Yeah. Sorry, have to pick sides there.
In your face, pilots.
I can really see where the Air Force people are coming from because they are bound by law to this. And the guy who wouldn't swear his oath had altered a document, basically. He had crossed out the swearing to God part on the document.
His position, though, is that his freedom to not believe in God trumps an act of Congress, which would be the law. So he believes he's right. I kind of agree with Charlie. There is no correct side here, but
Air Force's hands are kind of tied, like you said. Is it right? No. Do they necessarily agree with it? No. But they can be fired if they let him do this. So it's sort of like a I'd rather save my ass than yours kind of deal. Now, should the airman or one to be returning airman sue? Yes. Yes, he should, because it is going to take an act of Congress to change it. So this should be brought before Congress. Will it work? Maybe, maybe not.
Well, and the way
I don't think it should be brought before Congress, though.
Because clearly they're incapable because they made this the law to begin with.
Charlie, you've never stood up to a judge before over the "Do you swear to God" thing, have you? I have.
No.
I refuse to swear to God. Okay, then you're part of the problem, Josh.
God damn it. You're part of the problem. I mean, think about this airman. Think about what an egomaniacal, entitled cunt he is being.
You just described me.
Everybody who enlists has to take this oath. It is a rule. It's a stupid fucking rule, but it's not your rule to change. And he says, excuse me, there's this part that says, that mentions God, and I don't believe in God, so if you could change this just for me, that'd be great. Fuck you!
What if he's not trying to change it just for himself? He's trying to change it for everybody. It used to be an option, and then it got changed to not being an option.
It's wasted effort, though. I mean, I can respect that he's looking out for other people like him. He doesn't want this to happen to everyone, if that's why he's wanting to go to court and he's not just attention-whoring himself. I can respect that, but it is so much wasted effort. If something is a requirement, oh my God, I think, like a lot of potential court cases we talk about on the show, it sets an ugly precedent. I think people are going to just try to use the law to manipulate everything until they've massaged it into their liking.
I was in court, and I refused to put my hand on the Bible, and I refused to swear to God. I refused to tell the truth, so help me God.
Why the fuck do you care?
Because personally, to me, that would be a violation of my principle to affirm to God that I don't believe exists. Why not just ask me if I swear to Bozo the Clown that I'll tell the truth? If it's going to mean something, it has to mean something.
Why were you in court?
The judge got pissy with me, but then he let me just swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He let me leave off the... He let me put my hand on a law book and leave off the God part. To me, I won a minor victory because the judge was both irritated, but he let me do it.
Why were you in court?
Not going into that on the air.
Fair enough. I don't know. I don't like the kind of person that just says, excuse me, this part isn't exactly my mirror image, so I want to change that. If you could please do that before I have to do that. Oh my God, it makes me sick. I don't like people who use the law just to bitch about things that do not matter. Swearing has no practical use. Nothing is accomplished by having somebody swear either on a law book or on a Bible. If someone is capable of lying, they are still capable of lying even after they swear something.
I think you are grossly underestimating the pride of the military. Being part of the military to military people is a really big deal. And I think a lot of, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people believe in the morals that they are taught through the military. And it means a lot to them to be part of this unit or that unit or whatever. It's everything to them. It's part of their identity. And taking an oath to swear to that unit or to that, you know, particular branch is a huge deal. And is it pride? Is it some sort of vanity? Yeah, probably. And you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Somebody who's going to lie is going to lie no matter what. Having some level of acceptance in something that you've dedicated your life to is kind of a big deal.
I know, but it serves as much purpose as throwing salt over your fucking shoulder. I don't think it is,
because I think there are lots of little bullshit things that people argue about. People argue about the uniform. People argue about lots of stupid bullshit things in the military. But being able to assert or not assert your religion or your not religion is kind of a big deal, because they could maybe potentially throw people out of the military for being atheist, and that would be unfair. And that would be unconstitutional.
Oh, what about other religions then? What if you are a Muslim? Should you also swear to a God you do not believe in? It's more than just symbolic. It's more than just saying the words. It's kind of tantamount to violating your faith. And in a country where faith has such power, unfortunately, only one faith has such power, I think this is religious domination to a degree. You will swear to our God or you will not serve in the military. That to me is offensive.
I don't know, man. I don't think we're going to completely agree on this. I think
this is going to break, Charlie.
I just think it's a lot of effort that serves no purpose. All people are doing are arguing. This is just a nationwide scale of yes, sir, nuh-uh. I just don't think it matters. Not everything is a matter of principle. I mean, like Josh, using you as an example, if I'm in court, I'm going to be focused mostly on why I'm in court. I'm not going to give a shit about whatever magical bullshit they want me to say. Not everything is a matter of principle. Some stuff is just a matter of procedure.
I'm kind of a malicious little fuck. Let's quick talk about what happened to the North Carolina family. Their son, who lived with them, he was 22. He had $40 worth of heroin on him. $40. That is clear personal use. That's hardly anything for heroin, okay? $40 worth of heroin. The police busted him in his parents' home where he lived. They have now seized the parents' home, all of the property in the parents' home, the parents' cars, and basically everything that they owned under North Carolina civil forfeiture laws because their son was, quote, dealing drugs, and they did not know if the property might have proffered from the drug sales, the $40 worth of heroin that their son had. What the fuck?
Okay, first off, this kid is over the age of 18, and it's not really his parent, like, the parent's responsibility anymore. Living under the house, I can see why they would want to investigate the house and why they would want to search and see if there was, any more drugs in there or anything like that. But to seize the house and hold it indefinitely for whatever reason is utter bullshit.
Oh, they did more than seize it. They tried to sell it to somebody else. And apparently, North Carolina is the third worst state in the United States for civil forfeitures. They actually have had over $7 million in civil forfeitures in the last year. It's almost like a scam, because where all the money goes from civil forfeitures, it goes to the police and the judges. There's people who are enforcing the civil forfeiture laws. This is like legalized property theft.
Yeah, I don't think this is anything stupid. I think this is all greed and premeditated evil. I think it's fucked up. I think they're finding the worst law that they can to enact over $40 worth of heroin just because it was heroin. Because heroin is a serious drug, and there are so many laws on the books that are just exclusive to heroin. So they are trying to make a mountain out of a molehill just for reasons of annual budget, of overtime, of any number of bullshit reasons that police should not be given a runaway budget like that, because that's when irresponsibility happens. Like, there's a town here in Colorado that it's between two bigger cities, so people know about it. It's when you drive through that town, do not speed at all, because it has the most speeding tickets per capita than anywhere else in the state. And I think stuff like that happens because often like to seem more important and necessary than they really are. Josh, this is a lot like that FBI raid on that couple of former CIA agents. You remember that?
Yeah, that didn't turn out so well for the FBI, did it?
No. I think this is all just budgetary greed bullshit.
one of the things about civil forfeiture is you can fight it. Problem is, you have to go before the prosecutor and the judge. They're the people who can give you back the property or that can say, yes, this property was forfeited illegally. Problem is, both of those offices profit from the sale of your property. Less than 30% of civil forfeiture cases actually wind up being reversed. Gee, I wonder, it's almost like the deck is stacked against you, isn't it?
It's almost like the stars of evil have aligned perfectly to fuck over the everyday person. Yeah, this is utter bullshit. This is a scam. And I think there are probably a lot of good, honest cops who are just out there following orders, just doing whatever was told to them on a sheet of paper. And there's probably a lot of really dishonest, awful fucking people who are the ones going, $40 worth of heroin. Yeah, we could totally get a house out of that.
And what finally happened to this family was they were able to, at the time we're recording this, they've kept the property, but they're still fighting with the state over the property. They kept the house, but the property is still up for grabs. Basically what they had to do, the prosecutor said, well, since your son is the problem, they've had to cut all ties with their 22-year-old son. He's never allowed on their property again, and they're not even allowed to ever see him again legally. If they have any contact with their 22-year-old son again, that will constitute them forfeiting all their property. So they had to make a choice. Our house and everything we own, or our, quote, drug-dealing son. They can't get together with him at Christmas or anything. This is like something out of a bad movie. How is this happening in real life?
The way I'm hearing the story, it's driven by the greed of the state trying to enact all this possession bullshit over $40. $40 fucking. What kind of home improvements can you make for $40? It can't be overlooked that bad things happen to people that do heroin. He's not innocent. His parents might be, but, you know, they are the ones that raised such a moron. So maybe they're not innocent either.
Row, row, fight the power.
All right, well, let's move on to our final topic, which might kind of branch out. Okay, obviously, in this last week, the Apple iCloud was hacked and all those celebrity nude photos were leaked to the internet. Now, there have been two responses from the general populace on this, one of which of, oh my God, this is terrible, and one of which was, surprisingly, it's your fault for having taken naked pictures of yourself or having had them taken. If you didn't want your naked pictures out there, why did you take them? Now, I have problems with this for a couple of reasons. One, is this any different? I mean, seriously, with this iCloud thing, is it any different than if they had Polaroids of themselves in the 1980s? Someone broke into your house, stole your Polaroids, and then gave them to Hustler? Would this be any different than that kind of a theft? Why are you not able to have naked photos of yourself for your significant others and whatnot? Why is this not, why are the victims here seen as not the victims, but the, well, you shouldn't have done that anyway. You didn't want your car stolen? You shouldn't have owned a car.
Well, there's two different things happening here. I mean, yes, they took naked pictures. And yes, I think it is every American, especially married Americans' rights, to do what you can to keep the marriage going. If that involves naked photographs, fine. More power to you. I've done it. I'll do it again. Yeah, I've done it before. I'll do it again. If you just have your own naked pictures at home on a camera, the iCloud being hacked into would have no effect on you. Why were they on a computer? Why were they uploaded to the iCloud? Cloud, I can't believe I'm saying this shit out loud. This sounds ridiculous.
Charlie,
the iCloud?
Here is the issue with this. These photos were deleted. Apple backs up all of your photos. When you make that little agreement, yes, I agree, Apple keeps all your photos. It was Apple that was hacked. People like Jennifer Lawrence, they deleted these pictures. For
I'm
all intents and purposes, they were gone.
And they wouldn't have needed to be deleted if they had never been there in the first place. I'm saying take all the naked photos you want. Don't put them anywhere near a computer. That's retarded.
Wait, did it come off of a computer or off of an iPhone?
iPhone. Charlie's an old man. Computer, iPhone. It's one of those beepy boopy machines.
I'm just saying, Charlie? Because people kind are of. Most likely to take a nude picture on their phone just so they can text it real quick to their boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever and then delete it so their mom doesn't accidentally find it. I'm not an expert, but I figure that's kind of how people work. It does not matter whether or not it got backed up to wherever or whether you put it on your computer, people don't have the right to access your files or your information and spread it out to other people for their own sick pleasure or their own profit or whatever they get out of it.
To me, the most offensive part, this was done by someone on 4chan and someone with Anonymous. He sees himself as a crusader for truth. And he's now on the run and asking for other people to send him bitcoins. So,
yeah. Sorry.
to send him bitcoins so he can stay on the run and do this again. He says he needs your help to leak more photos. What that says to me is, dude, you're kind of an internet terrorist. You're not some freedom fighter. Now, if these were photos that would, like, topple the government or prove Obama was lying about torture or things like that, that's one thing. This is Jennifer Lawrence with her boobs out. You are not some giant social crusader. You are a fucking little troll trying to look at porn. And here's where he may have really fucked up hard. Some of the photos Jennifer Lawrence took of herself that were leaked are when she was 17. That constitutes child pornography. So now the FBI's going, all right, motherfucker, you wanted the heat? Let's see if you can take it.
I don't think it was Jennifer Lawrence, but yeah, have fun with that, buddy, because when the FBI comes knocking on your door, there is not a soul here who will feel sorry for you.
Well, Charlie, yeah,
do child porn lawyers accept Bitcoin?
It's the Bitcoin thing you're sticking on, huh?
I don't know. I think this guy is a complete scumbag. He's not trying to leak the truth to anything. He's a masturbating troll, like so many other masturbating trolls out there. Nothing about this makes you special. But I would like to say this to the people that are taking the naked photos of themselves. How easy would it be to just not have your face in it?
It comes down to privacy. Seriously, how is this any different than like a celebrity sex tape being leaked if a burglar breaks into your house, steals it, and then puts it on Pornhub? How is this any different? How is this your fault? The victims, this is blaming the victims. This is, well, it's your fault for, I mean, at the beginning of this, I said, it's the same as like a car. If somebody goes and steals your car, that would be the same as saying, well, if you didn't want your car stolen, why'd you own a car?
I think there's still some societal disapproval of, oh my God, the naked body. And why would you ever take a picture of yourself naked? You can't show that to anybody but your married husband or wife or whatever. And it's still, you know, sort of looked down upon to have any sort of sexual freedom of any kind, really, especially for women. So I think there's a lot of people who sort of look down their noses at taking nudes and at all, really. But actually, I've seen overwhelming support basically going out there saying, hey, don't look at these pictures, just ignore them. You know, like, you're a terrible person if you go look at them. And I'm like, yeah, good on you guys. Your hearts are in the right places.
Well, I definitely don't think the people whose pictures were leaked should be blamed for this whole thing. It's not their fault. I'm just saying, though, you weren't like, you know, you weren't accosted on your way to the grocery store. You weren't doing something that's necessary for life. Taking naked pictures of yourself is a choice you're making. And I would say make better choices and this stuff wouldn't happen. But it's definitely not their fault. Like, I'm not blaming Jennifer Lawrence for any of this. I'm blaming this soulless, twisted, masturbating troll that leaked her pictures for no reason. I don't know. It's the malicious preying upon the kind of dumb.
A lot of it is also like a lot of people feel like they have the right to know stuff about celebrities because they're famous and we already know a ton about them anyway.
Yeah, that's total
bullshit. Yeah, like some people don't do nude photo shoots or, you know, they don't do nudity in movies for a reason, because they don't want to, because they want some level of their privacy respected. And if they want to share something intimate with somebody, they choose that person very carefully. But there's this weird fetish that society has with celebrities' lives where we feel like we have the right to know every one of their single little details, no matter how inappropriate it would be for literally any other person on the planet.
Now, what does that say about privacy in the internet era? Now, obviously, if you have your Facebook open like I do, you know, I have my Facebook open to anybody. Anybody can see it. So I'm putting certain elements out there. Now, does that mean that personal things like between my wife and I, if that some hacker would get it and put it out there, that they would go, well, you know, you put yourself out there, you made yourself, you know, a personality. What does this say about privacy in the internet age? Is privacy something that doesn't exist anymore?
I think privacy is only taken as seriously as people will allow themselves to take it, because there's another side to the privacy coin. There's a whole bunch of people that don't want privacy anymore. Why the fuck do people put all this information out on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, anything? People put way too much of themselves out there because they crave attention. There are so many people out there that say fuck privacy as long as people notice me. And that is the bigger issue here. I don't think we should be talking about a matter of degrees. I think we should be addressing the problem at hand. Why are people putting so much of themselves out there, an inappropriate amount of themselves out there on the internet? What kind of person does that to begin with? I'm not saying that hackers are completely blameless, because they're not. They're scumbags, gossipy, bitchy tattletales. But what is it about the person of this era that is so comfortable sharing such personal shit with the world?
I think a lot of people have the illusion that there is privacy on the internet. It's sort of like all those youngins who want a Facebook and their parents won't let them get it because there are creepy perverts online. But they think, oh, I want this so that I can talk with my friends. And they don't really see any consequences to it, because those consequences aren't immediately evident. So I think a lot of people just don't understand how little privacy there really is. They're not informed enough about the way the world is to understand that, yeah, once you put shit up online, it's there. It's forever. It's forever. It's never going away. There will always be evidence of it somewhere in some cloud or some database. It has been backed up and filed, and it can be somehow discovered again.
Do you think something like what I do, like I said, my Facebook page is open, but I pick and choose what I want people to know? If I put something on my Facebook page, then I chose to share that with you. Now, if somebody got some information that I chose not to share, would they be right or wrong to say, well, you put yourself out there?
It's not if it's something wrong. You did not put out there.
But the general thought is, if you're any kind of a media personality, and all three of us are, we have people that follow our work. We are low-level media personalities. We're out there to...
I'm gonna start blushing.
Trust me, I said low level. I meant low.
So low.
I mean, to a degree, we fall into the same category.
Well, I mean, yeah. Think about just on this show. How much shit have I talked about myself on this show? I remember one episode. I forget even what the topic was, but I said, I've had premarital sex. I've had children out of wedlock. I smoke pot all the time. I masturbate an unhealthy amount. I mean, I don't think anyone could find anything worse than what I already openly say about myself.
I don't know. I'd like to see your browser history, but then maybe I don't.
Oh, you would. It's pretty hot.
You'd enjoy a lot of it, I'm sure. I think people have the right to ask. They don't have the right to necessarily receive an answer. Just because somebody is famous or quote-unquote famous doesn't obligate them to share anything with about themselves that they are not comfortable sharing with. I don't know. I don't want to put myself on the spotlight. But so Josh, for example, we can ask, how much sex do you have on a regular basis? Or how much porn do you watch? But you have no obligation to answer it.
I'm not ashamed to answer either, though.
Yeah, but you don't have to. And that's our right as a human being, you know? We don't have to answer to anybody. Just because people, you know, learn something about us because of our shows doesn't mean that they know us or have the right to know any more about us than we're willing to divulge.
Do you think that's changed with the internet, or do you think it was always kind of like that, like within the gossip culture, the Inquirer, Star, OK, the with an S, celebrity culture? Do you think that the internet has made that almost, I don't want to say more pervasive, but more of like a right of the viewer, reader?
I think it's just made it easier. I think that sort of deep desire to know everything about celebrities and violate their privacy has always been there. I think it's been part of our culture for a very, very long time. But I think the internet has just made it that much easier to find out information and to share theories and to ask people questions. And it puts us a little bit closer to some of these people because some of these people get Twitters and have official Facebook pages and all this other stuff. And it brings us that much closer without actually bringing us closer.
Pervasive was the perfect word. It just feels right for what we're talking about. I think the internet has... It's extrapolated a problem that has already been there, because Kat is right. Any civilization, not even just Americans, but any civilization throughout history builds gods up so that they can be in awe of them, and then to make themselves feel better, they will tear those fuckers down. It happened with Julius Caesar. It happened with fucking Miley Cyrus. You know what I'm saying? It's something that people do. It's part of the human
condition.
Did you
just compare Julius Caesar to Miley Cyrus?
But hey, it worked.
Yeah. I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying it's what people do. They build people up and then make themselves feel better when they start feeling inadequate compared to these people that they're admiring. Then tear them down. That makes themselves feel better. It's going to continue to happen. I just think the internet has made it way more easier to happen. It's made it easier for voyeurs to find narcissists.
Which would bring us to, where can we find Charlie McMullen?
Excellent segue, wasn't it?
I don't know if you planned that, but it just worked.
I did not plan that, but I threw it out there, and you caught that shit, and you ran with it. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, being uncomfortably honest, also on geekjuicemedia.com.
Where can we find Kat being very reserved and in the background?
If by reserved you mean I almost never post on my Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat, but I talk a whole lot on my other show, Nerd to the Third Power, which you can find over on That Guy with the Glasses under the podcast tab.
And you can find me putting it all out there, just short of dick pics, because nobody wants to see that, at 1201beyond.com. You can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Try not to be an idiot tonight, guys, and seriously, ammonium nitrate should not explode like that.
Don't drive drunk.
Keep reading books.
And rape is your fault, women. If you just
start
get married.
Start doing naked sketches. It's a lot safer.
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.